ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Thanks for listening to the 57th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. There's lots of conversation this week, and it starts out with my interview with Dave Romeo from Comics on the Green in Scranton, Pennsylvania. We talk about the book of the week for me, which is Before Watchmen, The Minutemen, number one. And we talk about other things, including the Avengers movie, Walking Dead, and other good things like that. Then Pete Casaz is back for his monthly talk about how things went in his popular comic book store in College Park, Maryland. Then we wrap everything up with news and previews with Ian Cullen and Gianluca Glazer. There's a lot to get to, so let's get to it. I want to welcome back to the podcast Dave Romeo, the head and the owner of Comics on the Green, the premier comic shop in northeastern Pennsylvania. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing okay, Wayne. Thanks for having me on again.
Good to talk with you as always. Let's talk about The Watchmen. I guess the first comic from the Before Watchmen series came out, and it was about the Minutemen. And I was just curious, there's been a lot of debate as to, was this a good idea, was it not? And now that the first book is out and we've got a couple more coming down the pike, I was just curious as to what your take is on all this.
Well, I have a nice big pile of comics this week, and the Minutemen was right at the top, and that's the only thing I read so far this week. I made a point to read that. And I'll tell you what, I went in skeptical. I went in with the whole attitude of, hey, Darwin Cook, I want you to prove something to me. I know you're a wonderful creator and you've done quality work in the past, but this is Watchmen. Let's see what you can do. And I was very impressed. Very, very impressed. I don't know if I could speak more highly about it. I'm one of these people, I have to say right off, I had no reservations about DC doing this. I have no philosophical problem. As a retailer, of course, we're going to sell a lot of them, and I'm very happy about that. But as a fan and a huge fan of Alan Moore, I have no problem with them attempting to do something like this, especially with the level of the creators that they have assigned to them. And Darwin Cook, right out of the gate, I think is going to set the bar pretty high. I thought this had the feel of Watchmen without actually trying to swipe from Watchmen. I can't speak highly enough about it. I really enjoyed it. What about you?
Yeah, I think this is a worthy successor to it. I really did. I liked it quite a lot myself. I thought that the story was good. The pacing was strong. Mm-hmm. He filled in some of the gaps of things we didn't know before. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Darwin Cook's art is always good. It's very dynamic and very clean. And I just thought it filled really well into it. Now, I understand he's writing Silk Spectre, which is coming out this week.
Yeah, but, or this week, actually. Yeah, today's Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not drawing it. I think Amanda Connor is. So I'm looking forward to that, too. The funny thing is, of course, Alan Moore came out and really vehemently spoke against all this. But I think, based on the first issue, I think that DC's got a winner here. I really do.
I do, too. And at first, even though I had no reservations myself about Darwin Cook as a creator, I thought, well, the average person who maybe read Watchmen, who isn't really into comics that much, well, are they going to accept this kind of cartoony, almost animation-type style that Darwin Cook has? But a friend of mine summed up. He said, you know, two or three pages in, and you don't, the art doesn't even affect you. I mean, it affects you in a good way. But it definitely isn't a detriment to it. It doesn't take away from, like, you know, the more realistic Dave Gibbons art of the original series. I just think it's a terrific thing. Now that we'll see how the rest of them do. Like I said, I think this raises the bar pretty high. But I'm looking forward to most.
So how many have you sold so far? Did you sell quite a lot?
Well, I don't know, but we did sell a lot. I don't have those numbers on me. I have them on Tuesday when we do our cycle count. I wish I would have counted them, but I know we sold a lot. We had quite a few pre-orders, and a lot of people were coming in, even people I hadn't recognized. Kind of the same way Avengers X-Men has done and the way New 52 DC titles have done. Like, we're just seeing a lot of new people coming out for it. So I think it's doing its job. Let's see if we can keep them, though.
Great, great. Now, in a related subject, of course, word came out from DC that Alan Scott Green Lantern is gay, and Earth 2. How did the second issue of Earth 2 do for you guys this past week? I know you don't have the numbers, but impression.
Well, I could tell you, but it sold out very, very quickly. Even though we ordered a lot of numbers, and we do hopefully have more on the way even before the second printings come in. I mean, the second printings were announced even before the book hit the stands on Wednesday. We knew there was going to be new printing. I will say, for the most part, although it was a controversial book, I think that's why people grabbed it. Earth 2, number one, did very well for us as well, so I expected Earth 2 to do even better. And the people have mixed reactions. I have to say that most of our customers are the who cares type of attitude. And in a sense that, okay, this is what they're doing with Alan Scott. It's Earth 2. It's the new 52. Let's just move on. It'll sell a lot more books, but if it doesn't affect anything. Of course, some people are just vehemently against it. Couldn't get that word out. And just thinking that it's going to ruin the character, and why are they doing it? There's no place in comics. But I do understand that to a point, and people have their views. But it sold very well. And what I'm hoping is that it is a pretty solid series, and that people are buying it for the right reasons after this issue.
Well, now there's a lot of confusion as to which Green Lantern it is that's gay, because a lot of the TV stations have been taking clips out of the movie and they're basically communicating that it's Hal Jordan that's gay.
Yeah, we had some of that confusion last week when it first hit, and leave it to the news stations to do very little or no research on what their little sound bites are. But we had quite a few people come in saying they can't believe Green Lantern's gay, and then you have to explain to them all the differences and everything. But it only helped sales, and if anything, it kind of took away Marvel's thunder, I think, a little bit for the upcoming marriage of Northstar, because they're promoting the heck out of that, and we have little point of sale, little postcards and invitations and things that to give out to people. But everybody's talking about Alan Scott. Nobody's talking about Northstar. So Green Lantern, as a name, definitely has more clout to it than Northstar does. So, there we go.
Well, I read somewhere that this was originally planned to be an Alpha Flight, but after they decided to cancel that book, they went ahead and pushed it over into X-Men. And the creators of Alpha Flight, who came up with the idea, are not very happy with that.
Oh, I hadn't even heard that, but I can understand that. If they came up with the idea and they're not going to carry it through and benefit from the big sales and everything. So that is kind of... kind of a little shady there.
Well, they said that they thought it would help propel the comic into higher sales, but they canceled it. Alpha Flight went through a strange, it's a maxi series, and then it was made into a real series, and then it was canceled,
Exactly. I remember as a retailer going, oh, okay, so are they going to finish the story at least? And then it's a little thing. And poor Alpha Flight just not getting the respect. I don't know. I thought that last series was a decent attempt to get back where they were, but Marvel, I guess, looked at it otherwise.
Yeah, so, and like they said, they wanted this to be part of that, and they expected the sales to go up when this hit.
Sure.
But they moved it over into X-Men, which Greg Pak and the folks are not very happy about. But it's Marvel. They do what they like, and, X-Men, of course, is probably going to get more play as an X-Men book than it would an Alpha Flight.
Well, I do have to see it from a marketing standpoint, where if you say that a character in the X-Men is gay and getting married, it's definitely a lot more recognizable than the average person than saying, oh, Alpha Flight has a member who is gay. I mean, the average person doesn't have any clue who Alpha Flight is. So, same with the Green Lantern thing. Name recognition is key.
Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing, of course, Archie Comics is the one that started all this with Kevin Keller.
I know. Poor Archie's always leading the charge there. But even though they did get quite a bit of press when it came out because it's not a superhero title, even though it was Archie, people, I think, maybe even looked at it even worse. They thought, there's no place for that in a children's book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now all the major companies are involved.
Do any folks come in and tell you that they don't like you selling that book? Because there's the Million Mom thing where they've had protests against both Alan Scott and the North Star business. Have you seen any of that?
I haven't seen any of that. We do have, like I said, customers that are vocal about saying that they don't like the ideas of certain things. And one thing I am careful with, and my guys are careful with, are we have Kevin Keller right there with a nice big selection of children's books, and Kevin Keller's right there with all the Archie titles. And so if a customer picks one up, I do, even though it's Archie, I do tell the parent, I just want you to know that this character is a homosexual character. Mm-hmm. It's still Archie. I think you can trust him, but that's going to be your judgment call if you want your child exposed to that.
Mm-hmm. Probably a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. Even though it's Archie and it carries a certain parental thumbs up, it is something quite different from the usual, Betty and Veronica and Jughead.
Do you think we're going to see more of that going forward? Because my understanding is that Robinson has said there's another character who's going to be revealed as gay later on in Earth 2.
Well, I mean, we already have Batwoman out there already. In the past, we've had villains like the Pied Piper, but it's a little bit trendy now, and I think the companies do like kind of getting the positive word from the various interest groups that support homosexual rights and civil rights and things like that. So it does make them look good as a company to promote that, and I think you're going to see a little bit more of it, but I think you'll see it die down now. I don't think that CNN and Fox are going to be carrying any from these going forward, but the fan press will probably carry some more. I expect to see a lot more diversity in comics as a whole. I think DC's New 52 has shown that they're definitely shooting for diversity of all kinds. And as long as they tell good stories, the fans will come back. Fans don't care if a character is gay, black, white, yellow, whatever. They just want good characters and good stories that will sell in the end.
Or aliens. There's a book called Resident Alien that's out that I really like. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. It's from Dark Horse.
I haven't really just kind of flipped through, but I haven't read it or anything.
It's kind of different than you expect. When I heard the name Resident Alien, I figured it was going to be some sort of a video game thing where there was all these aliens fighting it out and stuff like that. Turns out that it's just an alien guy who gets stranded on Earth, and he's got some way that he can appear to be human, and he's keeping to himself until he gets rescued, but he gets drawn into a murder mystery because he has all this scientific knowledge and medical knowledge. And it's interesting because, you know, he's got a very much of an outsider's look on thing. It's nothing like what I expected. I expected it to be lots of punching and kicking. And instead, it's much more of a sedate, a murder mystery kind of thing.
That sounds neat. I mean, I remember reading the solicitation for it, and it did sound kind of interesting. We have a couple copies there at the shop. I'll have to check that out. It did catch my eye, I will say.
I did like it.
Fantastic and the sublime all kind of thrown together there.
Now, one of the things that you suggested to me, and you're the one that turned me on to this book, which I always appreciate, is Walking Dead. I remember back in the day, I mean, have you read Walking Dead from the beginning?
Actually, no. I have to say that. I'm not sure if it was one of my employees at the time or if it was a customer. I mean, it kept coming in. And to be honest, Wayne, like most people, it wasn't on my radar at all in the beginning. It's a black and white zombie comic from creators I've never really heard of before. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't get into it probably until about 2 years into the book. So I was a latecomer into it by some standards. Mm-hmm. But so once I got hooked, I think there were 4 trade paperbacks only out at that time. That got me up to where they're in the prison. And I was hooked. But it took a lot of prodding from people saying, check it out, check it out, check it out. And you can only ignore so many customers saying that they love this book before you say, okay, I'll give this a try. Yeah, so I've been an avid fan ever since. And I read that monthly ever since.
Now, the line between comics and video presentations is blurring. Avengers movie now, and when Walking Dead came out on television, it was a huge smash as far as AMC was concerned.
Yeah,
have you watched the TV show?
Yeah, the shows, but I like the differences. I mean, like at some points, probably like yourself and other fans, some of the episodes you kind of groan a little bit. Maybe certain characters aren't portrayed like we like them. By the time that season finale came in the last couple of months ago, it just had everybody hooked. I thought they really hit their stride. I liked the unpredictability of it, because if I wanted a literal interpretation of the comic, then I wouldn't have any surprises. I'd say, oh, well, this guy's going to get killed. This person's not going to. And now it's all upside down. they're sticking to some of the main points, but they've surprised me a lot. And I think that the next season, just ratings are going to go through the roof even more, because we saw it. I can tell you this is an interesting story. It's almost like the floodgates opened. I mean, Walking Dead had been selling well in trade paperbacks like crazy for us anyway. But after that season finale and the introduction of Michonne and everything, literally, Wayne, like that was on Sunday. By Monday morning, all we did was answer phone calls. Do you have Walking Dead issues? Do you have the trade paperbacks? Do you have old issues? Do you have this?
Wow.
I'd say 9 out of every 10 questions we answered were about The Walking Dead for weeks and weeks and weeks there. Any back issue we had sold out. The prices online, for a collector standpoint, it doesn't really matter, but the collector prices went through the roof. The demand got really high, and there is a lower supply because the book doesn't have a huge print run except for the trade paperbacks. And I think it's just going to even get more after next season.
Well, of course, next season is the governor, and those of us who have read the books know that he has a big impact on Rick. And although I've read someplace that Robert Kirkman said that he wished that he hadn't done to Rick what he did, and of course, those of us who read the comics know that he cut off his hand. And he wished he hadn't done that because it's kind of limited Rick's character. And so I'm kind of doubting he's going to do the same thing to the actor in the live action show.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, every writer and creator, I think, looks back once in a while and go, like, you know what? I did that for shock value. But in the end, it didn't change anything. Rick's character didn't change as a result of it. All it did was limit him. I think Kirkman made a remark that, you know, I wanted to write a scene where Rick is opening a can of beans, and I'm thinking to myself, how does he open a can of beans with one? And it's not adding to the character. It just frustrates him more. If they do, it'll be very interesting. But I think we could almost get by with Rick with two hands and not have it change much of anything.
You know, of course, some purists are going to rail about that. That's not what happened in the books.
Of course. Well, then they should be watching the show, because the show's done its own thing anyway.
Well, he doesn't look much like the governor either. I mean, he's got the governor and book had long hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, are they going to do some of the stuff that he did in the books? I mean, Michonne ends up dealing with him in quite a violent way. And, you know, he ends up with a patch on and they basically go and attack. And the interesting thing, of course, now in the comics, I read the comic real regularly. Like, I always tell the story that if I didn't have time, I would be driving to work and I'd put the book on the steering wheel so I could try to read it before I got to work because I wouldn't have time. And everybody always said, you're going to end up one of the Walking Dead if you keep doing that.
Exactly.
As far as where the comic is now, how do you think about how the comic's doing? We're almost to issue number 100.
Yeah. And did you read the latest issue, number 98? I mean, I assume from what you said that you're all caught up on it.
Yeah, I read them all the time now.
Just in case some of your listeners haven't seen it, but... I mean, Kirkman's not waiting till issue 100 to drop surprises on us, so I can't really imagine what he has in store. I like the direction. One thing I've always liked about the book, too, is I never know what's going to happen. Even when I think, well, this is going to happen, Kirkman throws me a nice curve sometimes. But I just go along for the ride. I try not to even overthink. I just sort of immerse myself in it and just let it take me. And I'm usually wrong in my speculation anyway, which is nice. I like being surprised.
It's usually too short for me. I usually want more story. I get to the end and say, no, that can't be the end of the book. There's got to be more.
Especially if it's an action-oriented issue and you have pages of them just like kind of running from the walkers and shooting them. And before you know, you're done reading it in 5 minutes. But it's such a good book.
Yeah, it's very different from other. And it has so many things against it. You know, the black and white, the zombie stuff. I mean, zombies were out of date before all this stuff started up. And I don't know whether it's this book alone or this book in concert with other things that brought zombies back to the forefront. But
it helped. It definitely became part of it, especially now. Now with the television show, you can almost say it really has. And definitely affected the culture some more and brought it more into the forefront again.
Yeah. Do Kirkman's books sell pretty well for you besides
Walking Dead? Does. Invincible has picked up readers, but it's still at a certain level where we don't see a large growth in it. Some of his other projects like Infinite haven't done well. Super Dinosaurs aimed at a younger audience, that doesn't do well. Thief of Thieves, even though he's not technically writing it, people forget that he's actually not writing that book. Thief of Thieves is doing very, very well right now. And I know they're doing a second printing of that one shot he did called Hardcore. The second print's due out this week. And that's gotten limited, you know, audience, just a one-shot. But, you know, Walking Dead just appeals to a wide range of people. That's just it. Whether you're a comic book fan, horror fan, just whatever. If you like to read suspense, I mean, it has a big demographic.
Now, one more thing I want to talk about that was really interesting to me was, I don't know if you read, but back when Kirkman originally pitched this to Image, he said that he included aliens.
Yes.
That's part of it. And I always wondered, there was a color backup one time where there were all these aliens attacking and stuff, and I couldn't figure what that was all about. And then I come to find out later, that was what he originally pitched.
I suppose that in order to get it through to Image, he couldn't just pitch it as a zombie book. So I guess he figured, well, there's going to be a little bit of a twist. There's going to be aliens involved. And apparently he had never had that at all. Like, that was never his intention.
Yeah.
He threw that in there as a little joke, which was neat. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but he wanted to get it out there. He figured once it got out there, he figured it would do well, and he was right.
Right.
And just kind of funny to me that he did that. And like I said, that when I first came across that, I couldn't figure what the heck. You know, what's all this about? Zombies and all this stuff, and it looked like a regular action hero book. And instead, and that was the only time it ever was in there, and that was, I guess, just a little in-joke for people. But that's funny about that. So anyway, the one thing I want to talk with you about, of course, is the summer movies. We're in another superhero movie summer, and we've gotten Avengers, which now has come out and is now the top movie of all time. So, what'd you think of it?
See it in case they haven't seen it. It's not doing very well. It's only hit $1 billion+ now. So everybody go out and see this little independent film. I've seen
what'd
it twice. I thought it was wonderful. And the feedback we're getting from the customers. And the interesting thing, and this is how you get to $1 billion quickly, is when the comic book fans take their wives and girlfriend and they want to see it again. And that's what we're seeing here. I mean, we have people coming in the store, you know, mothers with their little children going, I took him in that movie. I thought I was going to be bored. I thought I was going to be silly. And I thought it was terrific. And we went to see it again. And it just seems like it's hit everybody. Nobody really has a bad word to say about it. You can nitpick if you want, but I don't know how you could have done an Avengers movie any better than that. I really don't.
Now, of course, the question I ask everybody is, this summer we got 3 superhero movies, Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man, and Dark Knight Rises. When the dust settles at the end of the summer, which movie do you think is going to be the top, and which one, well, how do you think they're going to fall?
Right. I think Avengers is going to be hard to beat. I think that's still going to come out at number one. Batman has a lot of potential because it's Batman. Mm-hmm. But Batman's also going to be almost like 3 hours long, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, even though the past two movies were very good, they didn't have the roller coaster fun pace that the Avengers had. And like when I went to see the Avengers, I wanted to see it again. Almost immediately after, I wished there were another half hour of that film. I was never bored. I didn't think there was a wasted scene. I didn't think any characters suffered. I thought they all got to shine. With the Batman movies, just with me personally, after I saw them, I didn't really have any great desire to see them again. Because they were good films, but there was only a few scenes that kind of stuck out to me. And in most cases, especially with the second film, the Joker stole the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a personal thing. Even though they're very well done, and Christopher Nolan's done a wonderful job, I feel like they're more of like a crime suspense type film. I think the superhero element, the fun of it, is not there. And I always say that Batman is the least interesting thing in his own movies. The villains are always more interesting. The side characters, Gordon. And to me, Batman is kind of almost like the straight man in the movie, just playing off of everything. And nothing against Christian Bale. I just feel that Avengers makes people want to go see it again and again and again. And I'm not saying Dark Knight, or what was this one called? Dark Knight
Rises. Dark Knight Rises.
Not saying it can't be, because obviously I haven't seen it. It could be that good and make you want to go see it again and again. But I think Avengers is something new. It's fresh. It's a little bit more exciting, where Batman is, we know Batman. Okay, we've seen Batman a million times on film and animation and stuff like that. And I think something new is going to win out over something old.
Well, of course, the death factor has something to do with it, I imagine. A lot of people said that they went to see the movie because Heath Ledger had passed, and the movie, one of the last roles he had done. So they went to see that. We're going to see whether that has a big influence on the third movie or not.
I think so. And the Joker is tough to beat. He is the Batman villain. He's the one that we all want to see. And Catwoman is a good addition in there because she has a lot of name recognition and people know her as a classic character. Bane does not. Bane is only really known to, well, we know him from that horrible film and from the animated series here and there. But the Joker will put more butts in the seat than Bane and Catwoman. That's just, especially with the controversy over Ledger's passing and everything.
It'll be interesting because, you know, the rumor now is that they're going to kill Batman by the end of it.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see any reason for it. It would make no sense. Nothing about it would seem to make sense. Unless he does it to go into hiding for something, but that would serve no purpose to me. I wouldn't understand that as a plot device or anything. I don't know.
Well, you know, just these movies, just like The Walking Dead and other things, are commercials for comic books. We kind of hope that people will turn on the comics if they realize these are comic-related movies, that they'll actually come in and pick up the books.
Well, we are seeing, I'll say right now, Wayne, we are having a very good year, and it goes along with what you were just talking about. Right now, there's like a perfect storm of things to bring fans into the comic shops, and it's working. You have DC's New 52 rolling along, doing a wonderful job on a lot of the titles. They're bringing new people in, especially the Batman titles. And alongside with that, you have the Avengers versus X-Men, which has a lot of big name recognition stuff, and it's just a big event that brings people in. You have The Walking Dead, which has been going on and bringing people, new readers in. Now you have the Avengers, and now you have The Watchmen. And there's something for everybody out there right now. And these things are bringing people in, like you said, like they're making them interested. Kids are coming in asking for the Avengers. Kids are coming in, well, not kids, people are looking for something related to whatever they're watching on TV. Young Justice even is doing very well, and kids are looking for that. And it's nice to see. It's working. I mean, they're, like you said, they're big commercials. Although DC is running commercials still for the New 52, and apparently they're going to start running commercials for Watchmen if they haven't already. Before Watchmen, excuse me.
Yeah, but, you know, DC doesn't shy away from controversy. They like to do these things. I mean, when they did the New 52, there were people who just swore they were never going to pick up a DC comic again.
Yes, they did.
And I don't know if many of those people came back, but I think enough people came, more than enough came back to make up for them.
We saw that. I mean, I could almost point to a few customers in our store who said, that's it, I'm done. I'm not going to pick up Batman, Superman, whatever. They're not going to give it a try. And they haven't, but they've picked up other things or they buy older issues. And in a way, we have lost them. But for every one of those people that we've lost, I think we've gained like 100 other readers that are trying the books out. Even if they only pick up one or two books a month, they don't have to pick up the entire line or even five or six books. But we have people coming in just getting Batman, just getting Animal. But eventually, you know how it is. As a comic book fan, you can't read just one comic book.
No.
Oh, let me try something else. Oh, I like this. And then I read about this. And eventually they buy other things. So hopefully we can keep them if the quality stays. I'd like to have these customers for a long, long time, these new ones, and the people that are returning, too.
Yeah. Going forward, how do you think the industry is going to do?
Well, right now, we are poised to do very, very well, and the companies and retailers, and we all have to capitalize on this and promote the product, but just keep putting out good books. So right now it looks very positive. Last year at this time, things were not that great. Marvel and DC didn't have anything too exciting going on. I think maybe they had just announced about the new 52, so there was a lot of trepidation over that. But right now going forward, we're on the cusp of not maybe equaling those unrealistic 500,000 copies a month of every title and the speculator boom that didn't do well for us anyway. But it looks very positive right now, very positive. And I think because the books are doing well and there's a higher level of quality, you'll attract better creators to do better products.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, that's what we want to see.
Okay. Well, do you want to give the information for your store so if people want to contact you and maybe buy some stuff from you, your address and your phone number?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And your website?
Comics on the Green. Mm-hmm. It's 307 North Washington Avenue. We're in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in the heart of the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And we also have our website, which is very easy, www.comicsonthegreen.com. We're on Facebook as Comics on the Green. You can like us there. I'm always posting things a couple times a day. Sometimes it's things like sales and things going on at the store, but I also like to keep it fun to ask customers questions and put up some little funny stories about things that happen in the store. So, you know, I try to keep it light. I'm not trying to force a product on you on Facebook all the time. We're also on Twitter at Cot Green. You could follow us there, and we post once in a while on Twitter as we find some important information. So we're all over the web, and we'd love to hear from people.
Okay, what's the phone number for the store?
Phone number is 570-342-5960. You could also reach us via email, of course. It's cotgreen, C-O-T-green, at AOL.com. And we have links all over our website and everything, too, if you ever want to email us. We're also on eBay as Comics on the Green 1 with the number 1 after it. Mm-hmm. And we're a power seller on there with thousands and thousands of items up there. We're everywhere.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Dave, always good to talk with you. Always have good things to talk about from not only a fan's perspective, but a seller's perspective, too. So always appreciate talking with you about that.
Great, thanks. I appreciate you having me on. I always enjoy talking to you about it.
You too. Again, much success.
Thank you.
If you're looking for serious science fiction, well, we can't really help you. But if you're looking for science fiction with fun, join us at sfp-now.com.
If you absolutely insist on using erotic persuasion to achieve your devious ends, then so be it.
Welcome back to the podcast. Pete Casaza from Big Planet Comics in College Park, Maryland. How are you doing today, Pete?
Oh, pretty good. Not too bad, Wayne.
Good. Now, May, we already talked about the Free Comic Book Day and things like that, but how did May do in your store?
Oh, it was great. It was one of the best months I think we've ever had, maybe our second or third best month ever, so tremendously good.
Wow. Do you know what accounted for that? I mean, how did that happen?
Magic. No, it's the whole industry reported a good month, pretty much. The Avengers movie, Free Comic Book Day, the Batman movie's coming up. Comics seem to be on everybody's mind a little bit. We had a number of people come in the store this month who said, you know, I've never really read comics. What do you recommend? What should I try? People have a little bit more money, and they're feeling a little bit better about the economy, I guess. And for some reason, comics are on everyone's mind, and it was great for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, did the Avengers movie impact the sales of the Avengers comics at all, did you notice?
Somewhat. Certainly anything with Thanos in it certainly flew out. Those disappeared very fast, anything with Thanos in it. Everybody's very interested in that character now. And in general, things have picked up a little bit for Avengers, and there's also the Avengers vs. X-Men series going on. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of people come in and pick that up to give that a try. But yeah, just a lot of people just interested in comics. People who didn't want superhero comics came in. People who were interested in superhero comics wanted to try new stuff, so it was good.
Mm-hmm. The Avengers vs. X-Men, are the sales doing pretty well on that still?
It's pretty good. It's slowed down a little bit, but it's still doing very well. It's still one of our best-selling, if not the best-selling comic. It's a little tough for us because the second to last week in May, the students left town for the most part, so things definitely slowed down for us a little bit, especially on Wednesdays. June tends to be one of our slower months. Just because everybody in College Park kind of clears out for the month of June, and then everybody starts coming back in the end of July, and then August is pretty good for us usually again. So it's we kind of typical. Most comic stores usually pick up in the summertime. Mm-hmm. So ours is a little off standard.
Mm-hmm. How do you expect June to do then?
I think it'll be fine. Last June was absolutely terrible, and this June I think will be much better. There's a lot of good books coming out in the next 2 weeks, too. There's a lot of interesting things. We had our first issue of Before Watchmen come out this week, and there's definitely some interest in it, and there's definitely a lot of interest in the Rorschach series, the Before Watchmen Walk Rorschach. That'll be interesting how that does. And the Spider-Man series, and Marvel's putting out a lot of good product right now that's got people interested.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was reading somewhere where it said, like, sales are up 40% from last year. And
yeah, for the month of May, there was a five Wednesday month, and there were a lot of good books that came out, and last May was pretty dismal. There really wasn't that much that was good. So comparing year to year, May to May, it's much, much better. But the interesting thing will be to see if that trend holds. It'll be really hard to hold, especially because last September, DC had their relaunch, and those numbers are going to be sky high last year. And probably lower this year. So there'll probably be a dip in comics and graphic novels sold in September and October this year compared to last year. But I'm hoping that May, June, July, and August are way up compared to last year. So it's a little bit looking to see.
Okay, now we've seen the first issues of the second wave of the New 52. What was your impression of those books?
They're pretty good. A lot of people were really interested. The first week they shipped, we had a ton of people come in for them. There was definitely people interested in them. This whole, you know, relaunch has got people excited and interested in DC Comics, and enough of them have been really good. People are willing to try just about anything for a couple issues that DC puts out right now. They're really interested in what DC's doing. And it's great help for the industry, too, is if people come in for one or two titles, they're liable to discover three or four other ones that are interesting or that might appeal to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got G.I. Combat versus Men at War. Do you like G.I. Combat better?
Yeah, a little bit. It's more of a straight up. Men at War had a little identity issue. Was it superhero? Was it non-superhero? Kind of wanted to be both. G.I. Combat's a little more fantastical. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're both kind of fun. It's hard to say whether one's better than another. It's often subjective. I expect the sales to be somewhat similar. Maybe G.I. Combat will be a little better. We'll see. It really depends on the creative team and what they can do with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got J.T. Krall, and I've got Palmiotti and Gray writing on G.I. Combat. I was probably better known writers than they had on
Yeah, certainly the Jonah Hex series has really improved. All-Star Western is doing a lot better than Jonah Hex was. And Jonah Hex was excellent. It was really, really well done. But it just didn't really seem to catch a lot of people for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And All-Star Western seems to be doing a little better. So maybe that'll be true with like G.I. Combat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your least favorite of the new ones?
You know, I think they're all... it's hard for me to judge so early. You know, I like to give them two or three issues and see. I think Dial H for Hero didn't appeal to me in the first issue. Didn't that much. I was hoping for something a little different, but I'm keeping my mind open. I want to try issues. I haven't read two yet. I want to check out two and three because I really like that series. The last iteration they did a few years ago was really interesting. They did some really good stuff with that. I'm hoping they pick up some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. The one I'd care for the least was The Ravagers, which was just kind of a standard teen comic.
And yeah, I think that's got potential, though. So didn't knock me out, but that's another one I'm kind of holding judgment on first. So.
Well, it used to be a teen book. We'd go over like gangbusters all the time. You had Teen Titans and X-Men would start out as a teen book. And so now it's just, I guess, Ravagers came out and I was nonplussed by it, but I guess we'll see.
I mean, there's definitely a darker trend in comics and more mature. So some of these other titles, these teen books, as you put it, really don't find their audience right away. It takes them a while to grab hold. And some of them never do. It's really, as much as there's been an upswing lately, there's also a lot of people who only read certain kind of comics, and they won't try anything out of what they normally try. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can be really hard launching a new series. It takes three or four issues, and it's got to get some real buzz before people are willing to try it. And some of them just never get past three issues. Image does that. If their new series or miniseries can't hook people after two or three issues, they just pull the plug, which is generally how it goes in comics. You've got a few issues. Every once in a while, there'll be an exception where at issue six or seven, people really jump on the series. But often, if six or seven is really good, it's too late. People have already made up their mind by then.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I'm a big Batman fan, so I was happy to have Batman Incorporated back.
Yep, and that was, you know, some Grant Morrison zaniness right off the top, so
yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, there's so many good Batman books coming out right now, it's just overwhelming people, and people are just buying them all. People like to wind up liking two or three of them, so they're like, you know what, I'm just going to buy every single one of them, and that's great.
Well, there isn't any of them that's bad. I mean, Batwoman's interesting. It's got its own flavor, just like Batgirl has its own take on things. And I think the Night of the Owls event pretty much cemented all those things together. They actually had Alfred was calling out to people, and everybody except Catwoman was involved in that. Mm-hmm. She got into it kind of back sideways. But I think that was a pretty big event. I thought that was pretty cool. I like the way that they did that whole event. The Night of the Owls helped the Batman books. The sales pretty much the same as they were from month to month.
They definitely went up a little bit. Like, Batman and Batman and Robin only went up slightly. Batman went up more than Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. But titles like Batwing and Catwoman and Nightwing, especially Nightwing, which was doing well, just shot way up. Mm. Batgirl definitely shot up. Birds of Prey, they all shot up a little bit, some more than others. Batwing, I think, had the biggest jump. That's shot up dramatically. Mm. So, yeah, people definitely were trying them. And they were pretty good, too, especially Nightwing. There was a huge positive response to the last couple issues of Nightwing. People are really digging on that right now.
Well, we had a big reveal about Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. I really liked that. That was a big step about how he's... I wondered why they kept talking about the gray, and I couldn't figure out what that had to do. And then we come to discover his name, Gray's son, had something to do with the owls. I just thought that was really... that was a great reveal. I love that.
Yeah. There's been some really good stuff they've been doing lately, so it's really just blowing the doors off.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Marvel for a couple minutes. Besides the Avengers, how are the other Marvel books doing?
Good. X-Men has really seen an upsurge. People are really interested in what's going on with that. And I've been reading those more, and I think they're really good. There's some really interesting discussions and back and forth on some action sequences. The X-Men titles are doing really, really well. And Daredevil is still just, again, doing really, really well. People are loving that series. People haven't read comics or Daredevil in years and years and years. We're putting it out to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, I heard about that. And I'm like, just try it. And they're coming back, and they're saying they love it. You know, really good product. Get people back into comic stores on a regular basis. That can definitely have a lot to do with the upswing in sales. People come in, they try a couple of titles, they love them, they come back on a regular basis, they start buying a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. Comics are fun, and when the creative team can deliver and you can show it to people, they will respond.
Mm-hmm. And I guess Ultimate Spider-Man's still doing pretty well. I always ask about that one.
It's doing well. It's slowed down recently, but the Spider-Man, the crossover between Peter Parker and Miles Morales starts next week, and I think I way underordered that. I think I'm going to need way more. And Marvel said it already sold out the first printing, and they're rushing the second printing to us. So I think that could wind up being huge for us.
Okay. That'll be interesting. Well, I'll be curious to see how the two Spider-Men interact, I'm sure.
Yeah, that should be very interesting.
Now, you talked about Image briefly. I got a kick because it seems like every week I look at the list, there are second, third, and fourth printings of Thief of Thieves coming out.
Yeah.
All the issues. And I was reminded when you told me how some people rushed in to get the first printings to be able to sell that later on after that was optioned for a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Are people still buying that book pretty much?
Yeah, it comes in waves. Robert Kirkman is incredibly popular. Walking Dead is incredibly popular. I'm selling tons and tons of Walking Dead stuff every day. Mm. People are coming in to stores who never come into comic stores because of Walking Dead. Mm. And when they hear it's Robert Kirkman and it's been optioned by AMC, they're like, oh, let me buy them. Let me give them a try. It's not quite a fever pitch, but it's still selling very well. And there are crazy people out there who are selling them all on eBay and all this other stuff. And it's a pretty good series. It's a little frustrating for me because I think Thief of Thieves is good, but I love Invincible. I think Invincible is great. And it's hard talking some of these people into trying Invincible because I love it. I think it's the best superhero comic that's consistently been good over the last 6 or 7 years. And so many people still haven't been reading it. It does very well, but a lot of people haven't been reading it. I just think it's really, really good.
Yeah, I like the book. I bought Invincible for a long time, but I always think that Kirkman does things that are unusual. He doesn't take the beaten path when he writes these things. And, of course, he's got Super Dinosaur, and he's got Guarding the Globe, I guess. I don't know if he's writing that anymore, but I think he set these things up anyway. So Mr. Kirkman has certainly got his fingers in, you know, a lot of the stuff in the Image.
Much like Walking Dead, these superhero books he does take interesting twists that you don't see coming. They make sense when you look back, but you don't see them coming. And he doesn't do the obvious stuff, and that's definitely part of the appeal of Walking Dead and Invincible and a lot of his other work. He really is an original guy. He's just doing tremendously good work.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other books that you think deserve attention that are being sold right now that people may not know about?
There's a lot of good books out there. We do a recommended list on our website and our podcast every week, and there's just a tremendous amount of good books, depending on your taste, out there right now. I guess the Chip Kidd book, Death by Design, Batman and Death by Design, that's interesting. That's really different. It's a good story. I really liked it. And it's not quite the same It's got this throwback feel to it. It's something people should definitely check out. It is a hardcover, but it's definitely not your standard kind of thing. And that's what we always like to see. We always like to see stuff that's not the same as everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it because the cover was upside down, basically. I mean, Batman's hanging upside down. And the story's a little on the slow side for my taste, but you're right. It's a period piece. It's set back a ways. And it's interesting to me, after the Gates of Gotham, all of a sudden now all of Gotham's history and period pieces are now a bit in vogue when it comes to Gotham City.
Yes, Batman's very popular right now with the movie coming out, and he's always popular. And this is something that's just a little bit different than everything else. And that's kind of nice to see that.
Now, I got to ask everybody the same question. Okay, we've had Avengers, and it's now the number one movie of all time, I can tell. And there's going to be Amazing Spider-Man, and there's going to be Dark Knight Rises. When all of the dust settles by the end of the summer, which one do you think is going to be the biggest of the money makers? Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man, or Dark Knight Rises?
Definitely between Dark Knight and Avengers. Dark Knight has a huge following, and the Batman series is it's very popular, and the previous movie was so good. Everybody's going to rush out and see it opening weekend. The question is, are they going to be blown away by it, or are they going to be disappointed by it? Everybody was surprised how much they loved Avengers, and a lot of people went back to see it two or three times. And that's going to be the case in Batman. For Batman to catch Avengers, people are going to have to go back and see it a couple times. So initially, I think the opening weekend could be just as strong or stronger than Avengers, but we'll see what the follow-through is on that. It really needs to get good reviews. Avengers is just a juggernaut. It was just a great movie that was made really well, and everybody, even non-comic fans, seemed to really enjoy it. I'm not sure how many non-comic fans will rush out to see Batman right away unless it gets really strong reviews. So it'll be a horse race, that's for sure. Definitely between those two, though. I just don't think Amazing Spider-Man is going to be able to compete.
Well, I think that this is good stuff for comics, of course. Everything that comes out is a commercial for the comics. So
we have good stuff in the stores, like I was saying earlier, it really helps us. People will come in once, but if they don't walk out with something and they go home and read it and don't love it, they may not come back. If they happen to go home and read something they love, they're definitely coming back. So it's really an opportunity for us to really help the industry surge forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's word out that they might replace Ryan Reynolds if they're going to do any Green Lantern movies. Do you think that's a wise move?
Yeah, I thought he was miscast. I like Ryan Reynolds a lot, but I didn't think he really pulled off the whole Hal Jordan Green Lantern thing very well. I think that was kind of a mistake. Yeah, I don't know. Avengers has done so well that Warner Brothers has to do something with more of their heroes. They have to do something good. Otherwise, people are going to lose their jobs. I mean, they've been trying for years, but they've never been able to get anything done, I guess, for internal reasons. But they really need to get this done. So it should be, hopefully, an entry of a whole series of really great superhero movies coming out over the next 10 years, one would hope for.
Well, it seems like every summer Marvel's got something coming out, at least one.
Yeah, they've been doing a great thing the last couple of years.
Yeah, they've got this figured out pretty well. And, of course, they make the movies resemble the comics pretty much. That was one of the things about the Avengers. I felt like I was reading a Marvel comic when I was looking at the screen.
They've really captured the essence of the characters and their interaction and the set design. It all really felt like a comic book. It was made by somebody who really knows and loves comics, which a lot of comic book movies haven't been made by people who love comics. They say they love comics, but they don't reflect that in the movie they make. And that's Josh Whedon, clearly about the comics, and he knew how to reflect that in the movie he made.
So you're optimistic that June's going to be better than last year?
Definitely, yeah. It's definitely going to be better, but it's probably not going to be nearly as good as May was. So we're going to be somewhere in the middle.
Okay, well, that happens sometimes.
Yep.
But, you know, you never know. If there's good product going on and it's a big summer movie, superhero
that's
movie.
That's true. That's absolutely true. The last 2 weeks of June could really blow the doors off, depending on what happens. So
as people get
hoping.
Yeah, because Amazing Spider-Man, I think, will do okay. Thing is, probably if there wasn't for the Avengers and Dark Knight Rises, Amazing Spider-Man would be considered a big hit. But But because we've got those other ones, it's trouble. And for that one.
It's really hard for a movie to do the kind of numbers Avengers does. I mean, only two other movies ever in history have done the kind of numbers Avengers have. It's a big deal. It's pretty rare for something to happen that goes that well.
Okay, people, why don't you give us our contact information so if people want to stop by the store or get something, you can do that.
Sure. I work at Big Planet Comics in College Park. The phone number there is 301-699-0498. And you can find us on the web at bigplanetcomics.com. And like I said, a couple of the guys do a podcast almost every week, and we have reviews every week of older comics and new comics, really stuff we like and recommend on our website. So if you're curious about comics, our website's a great place to go to find out more.
Okay, Pete, thanks as always, and we'll talk with you next month.
Thanks a lot, Wayne. I appreciate it.
It's time for this week's news and previews, and with me as always is Ian Cullen. How are you, Ian?
I'm good.
And Gianluca Glazer. How about you, Gianluca?
I'm doing good, too.
First thing I wanted to ask you guys is to get your response to Alan Scott being declared as the gay Green Lantern, which has caused a whole bunch of confusion. I see so many news reports that keep reporting that Hal Jordan is the one that's gay because they hear Green Lantern and they assume Hal Jordan. I've seen several networks have to come on and apologize and say, well, gee, we don't read comics, so we didn't know the difference. So, Gianluca, why don't we start with you? What did you think about that?
I really couldn't care less. I was imagining they would go with an actual iconic person, you mm-hmm. know, and Alan Scott really isn't. You know, Green Lantern is, but the Green Lantern that we know is Hal Jordan, is the mm-hmm. iconic character. So it kind of seemed like a bait and switch to me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Ian, how about you?
I kind of agree. For my money, if they're going to make an iconic superhero gay, they should have made it Superman, Batman, or Hal Jordan, or even Green Arrow. Any of the big names, as in the identity that's associated, such as Clark Kent, Superman, Bruce Wayne, Batman, stuff like that. Alan Scott. Who knows of Alan Scott? Unless they're really versed in comics. Who's heard of him? And my main question would be is, with him being the gay Green Lantern, does he get two rings instead of one?
Okay, we won't explore that any further. No, no, no. Okay, Ian, while we're talking to you, you want to talk about what news you've got for us?
Well, I've got a couple of things here. The Wonder Woman movie is to apparently be penned by the Green Lantern film scribe.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to recently announcing that they would be working on a Justice League film, Time Warner has also announced that they have hired someone to work on the ongoing Wonder Woman film project. Geez, ongoing. How long that's been going? About 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
The person they've hired is Michael Goldenberg. Goldenberg's most recent work was the Neston's successful Green Lantern film. And in addition to being critically slammed, the film did not make back its production budget while in the theatres. Though Goldenberg's attachment to Green Lantern may worry you, oh, and I think he's meant to put Wonder Woman there,
mm-hmm.
it is important to remember that he was also the screenwriter for Contacts back in 1997, Peter Pan 2003, and Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. So I'm guessing those films actually made money.
One of the original scripts for Wonder Woman was written by Joss Whedon, who did the Avengers movie, but Warner Brothers didn't like it, so they rejected it.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if Warner's has actually gone back to Joss Whedon since after the success of Avengers and been told to bugger off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least. So, given Wonder Woman's 70-year history, I'm curious to know what stories Goldenberg and DC will try to adapt to the big screen. So we are. Is it going to be World War II Wonder Woman, or is it going to be modern day?
Well, X-Men First Class was set in the 60s, although the second one's supposed to have time travel involved. But we'll see.
I think the second one's got time travel?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the rumor is.
I thought they were going to do it in the 70s, in the early 70s.
Well, it may start out there, but apparently they're going to hop around. I think that's a gimmick to get them into the current era, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, here's one that you posted. I think you posted this one. Yeah, you did. Northstar's wedding was originally to appear in Marvel's Alpha Flight.
Mm-hmm.
The upcoming nuptials between Northstar and his lover Kyle Giannadu, who the hell are they, were originally supposed to take place in the now-cancelled Alpha Flight comics, according mm-hmm. to DigitalSpy.com. That ceremony is now taking place in Astonishing X-Men. Meanwhile, Alpha Flight artist Dale Eaglesham has criticised the publisher for not using the storyline to keep the discontinued series running. This drives me absolutely crazy, Greg Pak, Fred Van Gent. And I do all the work of bringing the series back, and they cancel it on us. The artist wrote in his blog recently, why didn't they let us do the wedding event, which is clearly garnering attention to stimulate readership and perhaps keep our flight going? This pisses me off. Oh no, let the S-books do it. this team was in the works, and I can't blame the guy for kicking off, given all the work that they've done to it, but at the same time, you know, get a knife.
Well, the X-Books are going to be much more popular, although you're right, it would have been a big boost for Alpha Flight had they actually done that in there as opposed to the X-Books. The X-Books are going to sell well anyway. So it's just interesting to see. I found that such an interesting thing that it wasn't originally intended to be in Astonishing X-Men. Because Northstar is known as a member of Alpha Flight. He's not known as a member of X-Men.
Well, my feeling is, generally, that Marvel's oversaturated with bloody X-Books. You've got X-Factor, you've got X-Men and all this. And for me, one less would be a good thing. It's just going to avoid all the confusion that non-comic book readers that maybe want to jump on with X-Men are going to have about the title.
Yeah, too true. Okay, Gianluca, how about you? What news have you got for us?
Well, first of all, to me, the big news is Ray Bradbury passed away. Sad if you're a big science fiction fantasy lover.
Very, very sad. We did report that on the site. Pretty much as soon as I heard it, it was up there on Sci-Fi Pulse. And I think pretty much everybody has actually encountered something by Ray Bradbury at some point during their life.
Yeah. But has he ever done a comic? Has any of his stuff ever been translated into comics?
Absolutely. EC Comics. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's right.
And a lot of his stories.
That's right. Okay, well, we mourn his passing.
He was also a regular attendee of Comic-Con as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Alright, in other news, Diamond Digital is restructuring. Director of Diamond Digital, Dave Bowen, has left the company as of May 21st, and his duties have been assigned to longtime manager of retail technology, Cheryl Sloboda, with other responsibilities handled off the customer service, purchasing, and marketing departments. Diamond also let go of two web developers also in recent weeks. Some interesting development there.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard World, the convention that's kind of relaunching itself over the company, well, they've announced that they're going to release the Greg Horn cover for the first issue of the Situation comic book. What is the Situation comic book, you may ask? The Situation comic book is based on the lead character of the Jersey Shore, Mike the Situation Sorrento.
Oh. Fist pump every other page. Fist pump every other frame.
Yeah, the first comic is due out in August for Wizard World Chicago, which will also be Sorrentino's first appearance at a wizard show. Yay!
Oh, I'm really nonplussed. I'm sorry, but okay.
So Wizard and Sorrentino signed a publishing development and appearance deal last month. So, Wizard's kicking off going into comics.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard anything about this interesting feud that had been going on between Archie's two CEOs?
No.
Okay, well, I mean, it's been going on for over a year now. The interesting headline parts were regarding co-CEO Nancy Silbercleat being kept away from the company because she apparently sexually harasses guys. This is accusations from the other co-CEO, mind you, John Goldwater, basically saying that when meetings, she'll just say penis, 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 you know, repeatedly.
Good God, you know, the names of those people as well, it sets itself up for sort of a rather naughty comic book, doesn't it? Silbercleat and, you know,
John Goldwater. Well, anyway, it's been going on. It's been kind of an ugly feud between the heads of Archie because basically they're relatives, you know, of their fathers who founded the company. But apparently everything's been worked out. It's been a year-long legal feud, and it's ended with a settlement that restores Nancy back to her co-CEO position with the company. There is some criticisms, though. Goldwater's granddaughters claim that something dirty has been going on. Of course, this is not public record, but it is interesting how things were just so tense between these two parties. And then following this meeting, basically everything kind of seems, you know, worked out quite conveniently. You know, no one's losing their position, and they're not taking an adversarial job, so I guess someone got paid off.
That's what I figured. Somebody's hands got greased.
Yes. DC is making a bigger leap into digital comic space, so they're starting an original series of weekly Batman digital comics titled Legend of the Dark Knight. They're going to just be 99 cents, and they don't deal with any of the storylines going on in the regular Batman books. Each issue will be debuting on a Thursday. And some interesting lineups of people involved. You have The Butler Did It out this week. It's written by Damon Lindelof, you know, the guy who lost.
Right.
Artwork by Jeff Lemire. Mm-hmm. Next week, June 14th, All of the Above, written by Jonathan Larson and artwork by J.G. Jones. Mm-hmm. The week after that, June 21st, will be The Crime Never Committed by Tom Taylor, with artwork by Nicola Scott and Wayne Boucher. And then the 3 weeks following that is going to be Crisis of Identity, a three-part story written by B. Clay Moore and artwork by Ben Temple Smith. So, big names behind the digital comics.
You know, if I can pipe in on there, I actually downloaded and read that first issue.
Yeah.
It's a good story. It's interestingly about, well, let's just say that The Butler Did It, you have a fair idea.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, that Alfred's involved in some way, but I won't say how. It's actually drawn by Jeff Lemire. It's not written by him, so he has his unique way of drawing.
Yeah.
And it's got an interesting feel to it. And I like the book pretty well. The story's a good one. It's very different than what I expected, so very good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is based on, there was an old Legends of the Dark Knight comic that used to come out monthly a while back. And that went for a long time as a regular over-the-counter comic. So it's interesting that they're going to do this, but there's not nearly as many pages to this. It's only about 8 or 9 or 10 pages to this, and it's tilted sideways. Instead of being like most comics are taller than they are wide, this is wider than it is tall.
Interesting.
So it's got this very different format to it, and I liked it real well. I'm trying to get some of the folks who work on that on this podcast, too. So
I want DC to stop the digital stuff. Do Wednesday Comics again.
Oh, Wednesday Comics was fun. They talk about that occasionally, but there's no plans for it in the current time.
Mm.
Anything else?
Yes. Iverse Media is doing some big things for their Comic Plus platform, offering digital comics. They've hired the services of Bonfire Agency to help promote this, and they're going to be catering towards the libraries, basically, doing improvements to their app for the tablets going on.
Mm.
So, interesting stuff. They did a big old PR about it. From debuting a new look to lend itself to highlighting featured comments from participating publishers and creators, and will soon be incorporating into all aspects of the Comic Plus platform, as well as across brand partnerships and merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Digital comics.
Yeah. Ian, why don't we get in talk with you about books you're looking forward to?
Oh, up-and-coming releases. Well, not one I'm looking forward to. It's actually one that's actually literally staring me right in the face. And I thought I'd mention it because I reckon comics reviewer on scifipulse.net, Patrick Hayes, will most likely review this one. Star Wars Knight Errant Escape, and it's issue 1, comes out next week. So that was kind of interesting from Dark Horse Comics, I think. As for DC Comics, the next week's books I'm sort of like probably going to be looking forward to is Demon Knights issue 10 and Frankenstein Agent of Shade issue 10. They're probably like my two favorite DC titles right now, is those two.
Okay.
And from IDW Publishing, not really anything that's grabbing my attention there, other than the side. And I'll probably get this when it comes out in trade. Popeye issue 1, and that comes out next week, the new Popeye comic. I'll probably wait for that to be connected into trade.
Okay.
Marvel Comics, it's just X-Men, X-Men Avengers, X-Men, X-Men, X-Men Spider-Man, and the usual shit there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Confused about.
Okay.
There's nothing going on with Marvel at the moment that's really, really doing anything for me, to be honest.
Okay.
No, that's it for me, I think.
What about Flash Gordon Zeitgeist?
Oh, Flash Gordon Zeitgeist. Yeah, that comes out next week, but I didn't see it pop up.
Number 5.
I was having to scroll down.
Yeah, I bet you were looking forward to that. You didn't mention Saucer Country either. Are you buying Saucer Country? Because that's from DC Vertigo, and that's written by Paul Cornell.
I'm not, because I'm not really into that sort of concept in a comic book. That's sort of thing I'd rather see on television or in a film than read, to be honest.
Okay.
And it's not nothing against Paul Cornell. He's a great writer. It's just not the sort of thing that I'd be into reading in a novel, much less a comic book. It's not,
Okay. Gianluca, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
I'm sure for June 13th, there's several good books that are out. The Loxleys and the War of 1812 goes into wide release in the U.S. on June 13th. Mm-hmm. Some areas in New York may have gotten the book a week early, but if you did not, you can definitely get it now. And it's a great book. It's Renegade. This is a Canadian publishing company, so they did this story about a little-known war that happened between the U.S. and Canada. and interesting enough, Canada won.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Alan Grant, whose work on Batman, Judge Dredd, 2000 AD. The artwork is by Claude St. Aubin.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked on several books like Rebels. And the coloring is done by the same colorist who does Animal Man right now, Laverne Kaczynski. And Todd Klein does the lettering. And it's really cool. It's a drama. It takes place with this fictional family going on during this real war.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great little supplementals in the back there if you're like a teacher as well, looking for something to, you know, teach people about.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing promotion for that, right?
Yeah, I've been doing promotion for Renegade. Yes, I will.
Yeah, that's good, because I got to talk with Alexander Finbo in a previous podcast, and we've talked about that some. I really like it. Some people expect that a historical book is probably going to be uninteresting, but it's really not. It's very interesting. It's very well told, and you're never quite sure what's going to happen, and when we get to the end, it all ends up real interestingly. So I like that real well. I think it's such a great book. If anybody wants to really honestly learn something, they can pick up this book.
Thank you very much for the recommendation. There's a new American Vampire miniseries on sale called American Vampire Lord of Nightmares, number one, that goes on sale. If you haven't had a chance to read Batwoman, the hardcover for the first story arc goes on sale, Hydrology. You get to see some really great J1's third artwork for that.
Mm-hmm.
Image Comics has Bulletproof Coffin Disinterred number 5, the final issue of the second miniseries going on. This is by David Hine and artist Shaky Kane. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I skipped over a DC one. There's also Before Watchmen, Silk Spectre. It's written by Darwin Cook, and Amanda Connor does the artwork. A lot of people who, I guess, got sneak peeks of the Before Watchmen before the first week of release. A lot of them pointed to this particular book being really good.
Oh, good.
Interesting stuff there. Bleeding Cool Magazine goes on sale. Issue number 0, a preview book.
Mm-hmm.
For, I guess they're officially launching issue 1 in October. But if you like the site, or if you like news and internet gossip, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Boom Studios has Valen the Outcast number 7, written by Michael Allen Nelson. This is the second to last issue of Valen the Outcast, so definitely don't drop it. See it all the way through. Been reading it so far.
Okay, let me run down a couple things real quick. Like, there's an interesting cover for Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 9 Freefall. It's drawn in the style of Crisis on Infinite Earths number 7, with Buffy being held like Supergirl was. So, pretty interesting cover with that. Other things include Batgirl number 10, Batman number 10, Batman and Robin number 10, and Batman Arkham Unhinged number 3. A Jim Lee Batman black and white statue is coming out. We've also got the Birds of Prey trade paperback of the first. Birds of Prey's not doing all that well in the sales, so I don't know if that's going to hang on. Deathstroke number 10. Number 9 wasn't bad. Then you got Green Lantern number 10 and Green Lantern the Animated Series number 3, which is a brilliant move to put those two out on the same week. Smart, smart, smart. I really think that's a good thing. Legion Lost number 10. Ravagers number 2. Probably my least favorite of the new 52s going right now. Resurrection Man number 10. Shade number 9 of 12. Suicide Squad, which is doing well. Superboy number 10. And we get to other comic companies. That Popeye number 1 has the same cover on it, with Popeye acting like Superman shoving a car into something, so that's kind of interesting. As far as Image goes, Manhattan Project seems to be doing really well, because they're second printing number 3 of that book. Invincible number 92 is out. Saga, their fifth printing number 1 and second printing number 3, so that seems to be doing well. Thief of Thieves keeps getting multiple printings of everything. Their fourth printing number 1, 2, and 3, and third printing number 4. So if you haven't caught up on that, I would expect you're going to be able to catch up on that pretty quick. As far as other books go, I wanted to mention The Spider. Number 2 is out, which is a great book. I love that book. I got to interview David List a couple of weeks ago, and I had some interesting things to say about that comic that I really liked. The end of the Mark Waid Incorruptible, Irredeemable stuff happens. Irredeemable ended, but now Incorruptible is about to end. So that will be the last of that, which I'm really sorry to see that whole thing go. It was a good series of stuff. That's going to be number 30. To go with the wedding of Northstar and stuff, Kevin Keller number 3 is out. And there's also a parent variable edition, which I kind of find that interesting. I wonder what that's like. What's the difference between those two books? I'd be curious.
It's the Million Moms edition.
As I'm figuring, they must avoid all the any sort of innuendo at all. There is Steed and Mrs. Peel number 6 of 6. There is, let's see, one more thing I know. Oh, Sixth Gun number 23 is out. That's one of the best things that Oni Press does, and it's an ongoing comic. It's really one of the very few of their books that comes out on a monthly basis, so those are good things. Okay, on that note, we'll call it quits for this week's news and previews, and we'll talk with you guys again next week.
Cool.
And that's it for another episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Be back next week, but until then, keep reading your comics.
If this sounds familiar, you hacked League systems, disobeyed protocol, and endangered your lives. And your initiative resulted in the capture of three escaped felons, proving Warden Strange runs Bell Rev as a cover for criminal activity. Well done.